बिहारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। जमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा Paranitai. Jaya Jagatnatha, Jaya Jagatnatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori. Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। नामाचार्य शिला हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaivam narottamam देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर् भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 38। सर्वेर उपेर हंतव्या सर्वेर उपायेर हंतव्या संभोजा शयनाशने श्रीलिंगाधरा शत्रुर श्रलिंगाधरा शत्रुर मुनिर्दस्तम इवेन्द्रियम सर्वेरुपायेर हंतव्या संभोजा शयनशाने श्रीलिंगाधरा शत्रुर मुनिर्दस्तम इवेन्द्रियम सर्वे रूपायेर हंतव्या संभोजा शयनाशिनी श्रीलिंगाधरा शत्रुर मुनिर्दस्तम इवेन्द्रियम। सर्वे रूपायेर हंतव्या संभोजा शयनाशिनी श्रीलिंगाधरा शत्रु मुनिर्दस्तम इवेन्द्रियम सर्वेरुपायेर हंतव्या Sambhujashayanashani Shri Lingadhara Shatru Munir Dastam Ivendriyam Sarver Munir Dantavya Sambhujashayanashani Shri Lingadhara Shatru Munir Dastam Ivendriyam Mataji. Sarve Rupayer Hantavya Sambhujashayanashani Shri Lingadhara Shatru Munir Dastam Ivendriyam Sarve Rupayer Hantavya Sambhujashayanashani Shri Lingadhara Shatru Munir Dastam Ivendriyam Sarve by all Upaya means Hantavya must be killed Sambhoja by eating Shayana lying down Asnehe by sitting Suhrit Lingadhara, who has assumed the role of a friend, Shatru, an enemy, Mune, of a great sage, Dastam, uncontrollable, Iva, like, Indriyam, the senses. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sitting, or sleeping, must be killed by all means. Purport. Hiranyakashipu planned a campaign to kill Prahlad Maharaj. He would kill his son by administering poison to him while he was eating, by making him sit in boiling oil, or by throwing him under the feet of an elephant while he was lying down. Thus, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his innocent child, who was only 5 years old. Simply because the boy had become a devotee of the Lord. This is the attitude of non-devotees towards devotees. I will read the translation of next two verses also, text 39 and 40. The demons, Rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu, thus began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaj's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth and reddish coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him, pierce him." They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyan Timurandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dayati Sya Padantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna. So, thank you so much for being here this morning. So, we are continuing with the plans of Hiranyakashipu in finding a solution to a big problem. And big problem is, in his opinion, is his son. So, like, he tried all other means beforehand to subdue Prahlad Maharaj. He tried through the spiritual masters, the sons of the spiritual master who were teaching him to control the way he was getting into the bhakti or the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. So he tried several times, as we know, but after finding that Prahlad Maharaj is really fixed in whatever he is doing, he eventually decided that he should be killed. And this is, Prabhupada says in the purport, that this is the tendency in today's world of non-devotees towards devotees. So anybody who is trying to spread the holy name or the name of the Lord faces so many obstacles in today's world. But the good thing is, or one can say, due to the empowerment or the mercy of the Lord, the devotees, they don't give up so easily. They still continue. And we have a very good example in the modern times of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada tried to come to US for several years, and eventually when he was ready, even then, it wasn't very easy for him. He had no financial support, so he wanted to get help from the owner of the shipping company, a cargo shipping company. See, normally people like to travel by passenger ships, and that itself sometimes, and especially in those times, was not necessarily a luxury. But traveling by a cargo ship is definitely not something which one looks forward to. It is, there are nothing, no much facilities on the cargo ship as such. But Prabhupada wanted to come to the Western world and wanted to spread the holy name of the Lord and carry out the instructions of his spiritual master. So he underwent a lot of austerities. We all know about it. I don't have to go into the detail. And then he finally arrived here in the United States. And even after reaching here, the initial period Prabhupada spent here in New York area was not very easy. He had to again undergo a lot of difficult situations. He had nowhere to stay. He had to associate with different type of people. But because he had faith in the Lord and the holy name, he was so successful. So one can even say that that was perhaps the testing period for him. So same way, for Prahlad Maharaj, there was a testing period. He was again and again asked by Hiranyakashipu about what he has been learning in the school. And every time he would hear the same message in different words. So, and interestingly, every time he would ask the question, the answer will be more and more strong. It will be not like Prahlad Maharaj is losing his interest or in the devotional service. Every time he would be answering, the message will be stronger than the previous message. So Prahlad Maharaj was fixed, and Hiranyakashipu was determined to get rid of him. So what is the message we can take home from these verses which we have read today? I was thinking that, of course, besides that we will face obstacles, we will face difficulties when we are trying to distribute the name of the Lord on the streets. There will be definitely difficulties and obstacles there. But in addition to that, I feel we have a situation which can be categorized into two parts. One is the fear and or fearful, and the other is fearlessness. So Hiranyakashipu was such a great demon. We all know that. All the demigods were afraid of him. So he had to just look at them, and you know, they will be literally shivering. So in spite of that, he was so fearful of Prahlad Maharaj. On the other hand, we have Prahlad Maharaj, who is a young boy of 5 years. And he was being tormented and tortured by demons who were very, very ferocious. They had, you know, like Prabhupada described in the next verse, the verse itself describes the appearance of those demons. And if we look at them even on a screen or when we read about it, it is scary. But imagine when Prahlad Maharaj had to undergo all those tortures, he still did not give up. So if you are truly and sincerely fixed in devotional service, then the Lord gives the strength to bear all those difficulties, to tolerate all those difficulties, tolerate the torture, and come out of it without really giving up at all. So that's the main message which I was thinking we can have from these verses. Difficulties will be there, obstacles will be there, but we don't have to give up. We may consider them as a test for us, and then we have to continue and then carry on. I think we can read the other verses also, because these are more descriptive. The verse number 41, I'm reading the translation. Even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was constantly and fully engaged in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Govinda Pariram Bhita, Prahlad Maharaj engaged himself always in meditation, and thus he was protected by Govinda. Just as a small child on the lap of his father or mother is fully protected, a devotee in all conditions is protected by the Supreme Lord. Does this mean that when Prahlad Maharaj was attacked by the demons, the Rakshasas, Govinda was also attacked by the demons? This is not possible. There have been many attempts by the demons to hurt or kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he cannot be injured by any material means because he is always in transcendence. Therefore, the words are Pare Brahmani are used here. The demons, the Rakshasas, can neither see nor touch the Supreme Lord. Although they may superficially think that they are striking the Lord's transcendental body with their material weapons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this verse as Anirdeshe. We cannot understand him to be in a particular place, or he is all pervasive. For he is all pervasive. Moreover, he is Akhilatma, the active principle of everything, even material weapons. Those who cannot understand the position of the Lord are unfortunate. They may think that they can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, but all their attempts will be futile. The Lord knows how to deal with them. So, it's interesting. I'll just go back to the previous verse, 38, which we started with, where Hiranyakashipu is giving a very, very interesting analogy between the uncontrolled senses and the enemies. So it is true, we also hear that day in and day out, and when we read our scriptures, we come across these instructions very often, that senses are our best friend, could be, or they are the worst enemies. When are they our enemies? When they are not controlled. It is said that uncontrolled senses are like wild horses. And they, you know, will pull you in all directions. So it is important that senses are controlled. How senses can be controlled? By meditating on the holy name of the Lord. That's the only means by which we can control the senses. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in so many places while instructing Arjun, that those senses or the material energies are also the energies of the Lord, and they cannot be controlled easily by any method except by engaging ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord. So that is the important message which we are getting from these verses as well, that Prahlad Maharaj was getting all this energy, was getting full protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead just because he was fixed and fully surrendered to Krishna. So that's where I would like to stop. In case there are any questions or discussion, it is fairly straight, but if there are any questions or discussion point, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I'm wondering this statement, even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. This is interesting. I don't quite understand it. Could you please share a little bit if you'd like to on that statement? I mean, could we reverse it and say a person who is punyasya or has assets in pious activities, if he performs duskriya, impious activities or negative activities, that will also have no result?
The translation of the verse number 40. That's what you're talking about? 41. Even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. So, Prabhupada is trying to compare this with the activities of the demons. The demons who have demons' activities, or they are, when they are trying to torture Prahlad Maharaj, it will have no impact on him. As such, because he has the protection of Govinda. So that is what the first sentence of this translation, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that a person who has no previous assets in the pious activities, even if he performs some good deed, it will have no result. So what I understand from this is that we have the results of pious activities in our previous lives. So if we have not committed any pious activities in the previous lives, even if we are trying to do something in this life, it will not have immediate results as such. You would like to add something?
To me, that statement also implies, in addition to what you said, that the good deed, the seemingly good deed that a Rakshasa might perform, has an undercurrent or an ulterior motive to that good deed, because they are driven by passion or ignorance. So, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna delineates that an activity is charity. A charity is a good deed. But a person in ignorance or passion will perform a seemingly good deed of giving in charity, but it is so influenced by passion and ignorance that it actually is not such a good deed anyway. Because either they want their name to be flashed everywhere, or they want acknowledgement, or they may give charity to the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time, etc. It's still charity, but doesn't have the merit of what charity is supposed to bring for a person. What's the reverse? A person who may have pious credits, they perform a bad deed, it will not have effect? No, you can't say it in reverse. Well, because a person can degrade within the material world, but upgrading is not so easy. Goodness can degrade to passion and ignorance. But it's not always necessary that passion can upgrade to goodness unless there is other help. Shastra help, Vaishnava's help, or Brahmana's help. So it's like in the material world, the phenomena is something to degrade is very easy. But something to refine is not so easy. So I'm not so sure if that we can absolutely say. But you can generally say that it's not necessarily reversible. It is possible. It is possible, but not universally necessary.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Just to add to this nice discussion on this point, we were hearing this morning from Jai Janapu that one of the principles of analyzing scripture is that when something is criticized, it's more so to glorify the subject matter at hand, not to actually criticize something in specific. So Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur gives a translation of the same verse, and he says, just as pious acts have no effect on a misfortunate person, the demons had no effect on Prahlad, whose body was embraced by the Supreme Lord. So the way I was understanding the statement, that the example of a pious act not having any effect for a sinful person is a, you could say, a criticism of a sinful person just to glorify the subject at hand, that Prahlad's body, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur says, was embraced by the Supreme Lord. So just like pious acts have no benefit for a sinful person, then similarly the weapons of the demons couldn't harm Prahlad because his body was embraced by the Supreme Lord. So to sort of bring that to surface, then this example or this criticism of sinful persons is utilized. Just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, thank you. This is the comment you are making, correct? Yeah, thank you. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
It's interesting that this verse 38 is being spoken by Hiranyakashipu. Mm-hmm. And the last line he says, Munair Dushtam Ivendriyam, that uncontrolled senses are the enemy of a muni.
Yeah, yogis.
And it's easy to see it in that principle, but in his own life, somehow he can't see it. Would you like to comment on it?
Yeah. When I started reading this particular chapter, it turns out that Hiranyakashipu is a very, very interesting personality, an interesting character. Because he has all the knowledge of scriptures. In the previous verses also, he had been instructing his family, his sister-in-law, his nephews, when Hiranyaksha was killed. And when you read those instructions, or the way he's trying to console them, all those instructions appear as if, you know, some very highly elevated soul is speaking them from a scripture. You know, it's like a class of Bhagavad Gita he is giving to them. What is missing is Krishna or Vishnu. He has always considered, right from he considers Vishnu as his enemy number one. So all that knowledge which he has gained or which he has is of no use until and unless one surrenders to Krishna. So that is the message I get from here, that even if one has knowledge or one doesn't have knowledge, the important part is surrender to Krishna. If you know, so how one can translate it into today's situation? Some of the, you know, so-called intellectuals, they have a lot of knowledge. But that knowledge, they are not able to really help them at all in any way. You know, Prabhupada gives so many examples. There's an interesting story we hear that a man had to cross a river. He went, you know, he was from a village. He was working in a town. And when he, in holidays, he wanted to go back to his village, there was a river in between, which he had to cross, and he hired a boat to cross that. So as the boat was sailing, the so-called intellectual, he asked the boatman, do you know the science of astronomy? So the boatman said, no sir, I'm a illiterate person, I have no knowledge about it. So he said, oh, 20% of your life is gone. Then, you know, the boat moved further, and again he asked, do you know the laws of motion? He said, no, I just, you know, row my boat and it moves, but I don't know anything about the laws of motion. So he said, another 25% of your life is gone. So like that, he was asking him questions. And then, you know, suddenly it was dark clouds and there was a big storm and it started raining very heavily. So the boatman asked, sir, do you know swimming? So he said, no. He said, 100% of your life is gone. So whether we have the knowledge or not, but if we are truly surrendered to Krishna, Krishna will give us and impart the right knowledge, which is really necessary. So Hiranyakashipu's position that Krishna or Vishnu is my biggest enemy, that was the main reason for his downfall. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. This is a question on verse 38. So Hiranyakashipu is speaking, and it's really easy to have this same mentality, I've noticed. I'll see someone doing something or acting in a way that is not the way I would want them to act, or I would not want them to think that way, or have this opinion, or have this perspective, or whatever it is. So then it's out of my control. So then I think, oh, this person is my enemy. Mm-hmm. So how can we develop the proper understanding that actually there we don't have any enemies in this world?
That we do not have any enemies in this world?
Yeah.
How do we define an enemy? That's the interesting thing. You see, we define an enemy as a person who doesn't agree with us. Okay? We are having a discussion and you don't agree with me. At the back of my mind, I will consider you as my enemy. Subtle sense. But here, when we are looking at it, Prahlad Maharaj is the next in line to take the kingdom of the demons. So Hiranyakashipu wanted that the person who is going to sit on his throne is fully qualified. So he wanted him to have all those qualities for which he was famous. But Prahlad Maharaj is a totally different person. And that is the reason why Hiranyakashipu considered him as his enemy. For us, devotees, what are the enemies? Prabhupada says that there are six highway robbers: anger, envy, false ego, pride. They are our enemies. So if we control them somehow, then we will not have any enemies. Even those persons who don't agree with you, you will not consider them as your enemies. But the only thing is that how can we control them? How we can win over them? And that could be done by associating with devotees, associating with the right kind of people, and hearing from scriptures. So that's the way I feel we can control and we can, endear others to us.
I was just thinking, this is nice philosophy. It's very, I'm convinced that you're speaking, you know, the truth, but still it's very difficult to apply, because these things like false ego and lust and all these things, they've been my friends for a long time. So I was thinking, do you think it would be useful to discuss very briefly even like the material or practical benefits of having people in your life who disagree with you? Like the Bhagavatam will give, you know, material benedictions or whatever for people who... Anyway, you see what I'm saying? Maybe, like, because it's difficult to just apply in the principle of these abstract principles, but to recognize even that there's material benefit to having people who are disagreeing with us in our environment. What do you think? If it's not a good use of time, I don't think it's necessary right now, but...
Yeah, I agree with you. We read so many instructions, you know, we chant so many mantras and shlokas every day, but most of the time, at least I can speak for myself, we are just chanting them because we have to chant them. We do not even make an attempt to, you know, move little forward to inculcate the message of those instructions in our life. We have to make a start. And if we do that slowly and gradually, with the help of other devotees, with the help of the instructions we get from our superiors, we'll be able to make progress. There was a question asked by somebody that how could I be humble? So one answer was given, please go and distribute books. You will know what humility is. Okay? You know, you will get so much of exposure that you will understand it. Same way, there was another answer given that please clean the toilet of the temple. You will get some qualities which you are looking for and you are missing. The only thing is that we are trying to find and, you know, get those qualities just by reading. Reading is definitely going to help. At least we know what we should be doing. The only thing is that then we have to move to the next level and look at the practical aspects, how we can get those qualities. Thank you. Yes.
Would you permit me to add?
Yes,
to
what Prabhuji.
The question was, is it nice to have people who disagree with us in general? Is it healthy? The answer is, whether we like it or not, people will always disagree with us. It is nice to have at least a couple who agree with us once in a while. Because Kali Yuga is an environment where disagreement, we call it quarrel, but disagreement is the norm. If someone agrees and cooperates, we should accept that as a very special dose of mercy. Because for anything and everything, in general, people are highly opinionated. For whatever reason. Okay, there we can analyze 500 reasons why people are opinionated. And so to disagree is the norm. It's not at all surprising. Not at all surprising. To agree is very surprising. It's like, wow, someone agrees. That's interesting. So what is the platform for agreement is when one goes beyond one's own to see a higher purpose, or let's say a common purpose. Now, people in sense gratification, they agree with each other because they feel they have a higher purpose, mutual sense gratification. But that's not a higher purpose, it's a lower purpose. So people can agree for a lower purpose also. Let's all get together and think of something very devious and destructive. People agree. But that won't last. Like Prabhupada would say, what is the meaning of honesty among thieves? They all agree, but they are stealing. So trying to agree for something higher, a mission, a purpose that is higher from the absolute standpoint, then you find possibilities of agreement. Now within that, there are also disagreements, and Prabhupada talks about it many times. It's Jai Jagannath's favorite topic. And there has a different view of things, or you see it from a different angle. So we don't have to try for people to disagree. It's just there. It is there. Now, both Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Sripada Ramanujacharya have said that those who disagree with us, sometimes they are friends, because they may show us something that we otherwise will not see, and all you have is yes men. It's called groupthink, but you have yes men, they say yes for everything, then you may not be able to see. So there's a story of Ramanujacharya, two persons, one glorified him and one found some discrepancy in him, and he thanked the person with that discrepancy. Oh, thank you. That was very nice of you, because I was thinking everything was going well.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yes, Mataji is here.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I would like to share my experience. It feels like when sometimes we maybe don't like someone, or we don't like what they tell us or do to us. So while ago, long time ago, I remember I just decided to do service for this person. Like Mataji, two of us, we didn't really get along, and it just out of blue, I just decided just come down and decide to do service for her. It was amazing result. It was like, wow. You know, it's like we become very good friends. And one time, like, okay, we devotees, right? It's example. But one time, long time ago in Russia, I was on book distribution, like every day in same place with table and books. And one time, one woman come to me, she said, please tell me, why you always happy? Why you always smile and happy and look, you know? And we talk with her, I talk with her, and suddenly two Christian women, nuns, like in black, they wear blacks, and come to my table, and they start cursing me. They're like, demons, you demon, you go hell, and all this. And that woman, she's just like scared. So you know what I said, you know what, that Jesus, like right now, he's very unhappy with you. You know, I love Jesus too, and he's very unhappy with you. So it was like disarm them. They didn't know what to say. You know, and this woman, she was even more amazed with, you know, Hare Krishna. So thank you. I just want to share.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.